This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Ashley Benefield being found guilty of manslaughter, not murder in the second degree. The jury kind of made some concessions and somehow agreed that the lesser charge was appropriate. What is next for her? Well, sentencing. She faces up to 30 years in prison with a minimum of 11.5. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. So here we go. We have a guilty verdict on a case that was extremely confusing, extremely dividing and divisive once people started to actually hear the case in court. I think a lot of us had our preconceived notions going in, and as it continued, as it should, opinions can change. What's been your thoughts as the case progressed through and she took the stand and we heard more and more arguments from both sides?
Yeah. And I'm with you, Tony. You know, opinions changing. Mine did. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, as we do with all human behavior, all we can do is take in the data points that were presented. And until we actually see the case go to prosecution and everyone lays out more data, more leads, tips, and all these things, do we actually get a more fuller picture? So it's always with a caveat that what we know so far leads me to this. And so before we had more data, I was more on the side of him. Mm-hmm. But as data came out, we're like, huh, there's a lot more things here that's saying there's a lot of really off behavior that he did as well that mm-hmm. we didn't know beforehand. That still being said, I still didn't see what I really wanted to see, which was mother-daughter communication.
I know.
And that to me, and I even have it in my notes here, even before, as I took my notes on this case prior to the conviction as I was prepping, my question was this, and this is why I'm very happy that there's accountability for death, but not murder. It's manslaughter. So mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate sentencing. That's a steep sentence, though, on manslaughter, it looks like, you know, the window in there. But with that being said, I think that the communication between the mother and daughter to me is really paramount, because that lays out, was this a premeditated notion in her head mm-hmm. or a moment of passionate impulse of defense? Mm-hmm. You know, and so we would only know that if there was ever a communication between the mother and the daughter at some point saying, hey, maybe you ought to just bump this guy off. Maybe we should just do something. I don't know what it would be, but we've seen this in other cases where that is a great insight to what was going on in her mind, because that's what this always comes down to when we're going for a conviction, whether it's manslaughter, acquittal, or murder, is what was in the mind of the assailant, of the person that was committing the murder. And we don't truly know that, I think, in this case yet, because she's kind of been all over.
And maybe we didn't see it because there's nothing there. I mean, we did see some subreddit information. We did see some texts back and forth, but we didn't see anything there. And I can only assume it's because there was nothing there to see. Otherwise, I would assume that this would have been part of the case itself. But we certainly did learn a lot more about Doug. It was originally kind of presented as he just wants to see his kids. He's just a dad who wants to be close to his kids. And while I believe that is an element of the case, there was a lot more to Doug than just a concerned father, especially when we started to learn about a pattern of behavior. And it mm-hmm. really, one of the biggest pieces, I think, of this, and to me, what I'm guessing maybe moved the jury from second degree to manslaughter was the revelation of the text message or the email that she had found between Doug and his wife, who is now deceased, where she is telling him just how upset and sad and betrayed she feels that he's not the person that she thought she was marrying, and how upset she was that he kicked her on their honeymoon cruise because he couldn't get it up and he had to use Viagra. And in his own frustration, he takes it out on her. I mean, this is something where it's and then you start learning more about the behavior, start learning mm-hmm. about his extreme jealousy when Ashley was on a cruise with her mom, because there was some male voices in the background as someone was walking around the ship, and he goes immediately to, I want to destroy those people and take them off of the earth. Not a normal response from anyone.
Well, actually, It's in line with a normal response of a 13-year-old.
Yes, very much so. A very high testosterone 13-year-old boy who has no control over their emotions. But we're talking a man who's like in his 50s at this point.
Massively insecure.
Yes.
Wants total control because of their own insecurities, their own feeling of inadequacies. And so they're constantly trying to control the women in their lives to allow themselves to feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading John Douglas's book right now. It's the one. Oh, it's a horrendous one. It's all about the seven, I think it's 17 different types of sexual assault and rapes.
Oh, God.
And it's horrendous. And so some of these behaviors are the ones that you see as an escalation, you know, the precursors towards an escalation towards that when it comes to this immaturity, this need of control. Obsession is the name of the book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as we got the more data points on him from those earlier years and even current, you know, it's unfortunately, I think it could have gone even potentially better for her had she been a better witness for herself. I really just don't think she was that good because she seemed a little flighty at times, kind of contradicting herself. I mean, her behaviors contradicted themselves a few times, which I think hurt her. Thankfully, prosecution was able to, well, defense was able to bring out, you know, all the negative behaviors of him, which helped her defense. But at the same time, she became very confusing, which also led to me to think too, was there a level of trauma bonding that was going on with her as well that kept coming back?
I would say, you know, probably without a doubt that there was a level of that going on. It seems in this case, you have an intimidator and a manipulator, the two of them. You have him being very much an intimidator, wanting to be in control, and the way he does it is intimidating and acting macho, what he believes is macho and manly. And some people will respond to that depending on, you know, their own past and what they perceive as this is, you know, strong man type behavior. And then you have someone who seems to have had to manipulate their way through life in a lot of ways, using sex, using control, using whatever is at their means to kind of get by. And this is how they operate. Both wanting to be in complete control at all times and not having any sort of grounds for let's share this. We have a kid. Let's find a happy medium. There didn't seem to be any sort of happy medium for either of these two.
Yeah. And we see this a lot in horrible cases like this where two unhealthy people are attracted to each other because they're both unhealthy to leveling degrees, and it resulted in a tragic death.
Yeah.
And now there's an accountability for that tragic death, and definitely not victim blaming on it on either side, just because there was horrendousness, I think, that was done to both, and he wound up paying the ultimate price for it, but she's now accountable for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the jury did a good job, that they put a lot of thought into what they were doing. I'm glad they had the flexibility for the other charges that we didn't see in things like the Karen Reed case. You know, sure. It was either all or nothing. So, it seems like at least on the charges and conviction, justice was done. We'll see when it comes to sentencing what will happen.
Are you ready to listen to this podcast ad-free?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel now on Apple Podcasts.
You'll instantly have access to all of our episodes labeled Advance Ad-Free. You'll hear the interviews before everyone else and with no interruptions.
No interruptions.
Subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel now on Apple Podcasts.
And start binging now.